feelings in Maruba obviously are Geneva and Gazela, particularly Geneva, but we'll be analyzing Geneva and Gazela. We're going to begin with a little bit of an introduction, a number of topics, just to put Geneva and Gazela in proper context, or what we think is proper context, and hopefully that should, A, place it in a proper place, and also contribute as we move forward to analyzing the details of the parak, knowing the interrelationships, hopefully, will help us as well. In terms of Svarim, I think I was asked this question at the end of last year, but this... did we ever find out about the mysterious edition?
Rivet?
Abbott's
not mysterious.
What?
Yeah. It
Some, not the Abbott, it's a different one.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm still not, maybe I'll try to track it down. Is it significantly different, or we don't know?
No, it's not significant.
Okay. So the Svarim on Bava Kamma are, actually, there could be more Rishonim than Bava Kamma. And but the most important ones are obviously the whatever's in the Gemara, and the Shita Mekubetzes will be very important. I use the old Shita Mekubetzes, that's the one I have marked up, so probably the numbers will follow that. I guess if we could have somebody do a conversion, I don't know if there's a scientific conversion that you could do, but figure out a formula. But I think they're also new of the. The advantage of the old Shita Mekubetzes is that there used to be only one. You couldn't read it very well, but at least we all knew what we were dealing with. Now they put out, like every few weeks, they put out another, Oz Umfuar and Oz Hadar and Hadar Umfuar, and like they're just, struggling with each other for the best possible aesthetic Shita Mekubetzes experience. But so I don't even know whether we can have one conversion. But you'll always be able to find it. It isn't that difficult. But the Shita Mekubetzes is very useful in Bava Kamma. In terms of the individual, the Rajba is extremely. Don't have the Ramban, unfortunately. You don't have the Ritva, but for that reason, the Rajba is even more central than it otherwise might be. In terms of Bava Kamma, also the Meiri becomes very important because there isn't that much in terms of Chachmei Provence outside of the Meiri. You have a little bit of Sefer Hashlama, but in terms of the more mainstream things, Meiri is important. The Rivet, as we just noted earlier, is important. It's often quoted in the Shita Mekubetzes anyway, but it's good to have access to the separate Rivet. Again, I have the old Atlas Rivet. Noah says that this new, fangled, tremendously modern Rivet, which is just a must. Since he told me that, I've been looking at all the Svarim stores, and I haven't been able to find it yet. But if it's the same, it's the same. So that's the Rivet. The Shita Sakadmonim, those red books, I think they're still red. The one in Bava Kamma is very important. It has some new material from the Bali Tosis, Talmud or Benu Tam. That they have, now and then has important things. You should have access. You don't necessarily have to have one, but you should have access to it. Tosfos Ben Peretz is important also in Bava Kamma. Is there anything that I missed out? What's that? Yeah, Talmud Rajba now and then. He made his mark in Kedushin a couple of times. That's the Shittas Kedmonim that I mentioned. That's the Blau book, the red book, the Talmud of Benu Tam. What's that? Oh, they put things on the daf?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we should get. I'll try to get a hold of that one. Maybe that'll be. Maybe that will be helpful as well. What? The Rima L'Neil. The Rima L'Neil now and then has important things. Also, you should have access to the Rima L'Neil on Bava Kamma. But as I say, relative to the other Bavas, certainly. It's like Bava Kamma is the poor cousin, and not the material, but in terms of the Rishonim, just the way it's developed that we don't have a lot of the Chachmei Svarad the rich Chachmei Svarad that we have on Bava Mitzi and Bava Basra, we just don't happen to have on Bava Kamma. Chaval al Da'avdim, maybe they'll soon be Mishtakhin. Sometimes they find things, but at the moment, so we're a little bit less than usual, but. Again, I think the issues are very, very important, and I think very fascinating. Of course, in terms of Achronim, you should have access to the material in Kosher Mishpat. You know, the Shachs and the Ksosis and the Sivuses, they will definitely figure prominently, as they should. In terms of other Achronim, I'm not really so frightened. I think the Tzid has some material, the Pnei Yoshua, you know, good to have access to these Starim. Anything else in Bava Kamma that I should, that, what's that? Rambam. Rambam? Okay, that goes, the Rambam goes without saying. And I don't even feel like I have to mention it. The Rambam should be, you know, should be on your desk and you know, consulted at all times, just as Rashi and Tosis are. So, absolutely. Okay. I think that's pretty much it. If there's anything else that I can, you know, that occurs to me later on, or if anybody else has any other Rishonim or Achronim that they want to ask about, you know, feel free to bring it up. But I think these are the main staples. So you have a little less in terms of things to look at, but as it materializes, stands in its own right. Okay, we're going to begin with an analysis of the various Isurim connected with Geneva and Gezela. I think that's important for providing the context. Every culture has to deal with you know, Geneva and Gezela. One could say, unfortunately. It's in the nature of man, you know, to want what isn't his. And, you know, man has sometimes large eyes. And sometimes greed and other things, his drive to amass material goods, sometimes gets the best of him. Is this, by the way, is there a tape going on here? I know they want it in the... Is this like...
This is mine, and I'm hopefully happy to share it.
Is this a
MP3.
It is an MP3.
Yeah.
Okay. Because they want us to tape it every day and put it on the... Not every day necessarily, but I guess every week. Jonathan did it last year.
He spoke to you? No. I have no idea how to upload.
Okay, so I guess they'll help you. But if you're just... it's being taped, that's good. We'll figure it out later, so we'll... Okay. Okay, so as I say, in all cultures you have this this issue and this problem. It's a weakness of man. He, you know, is very much focused on material goods, and sometimes you know, he crosses the boundaries and encroaches into other people's physical territory and legal territory in order to satisfy his appetites. So every culture has to relate to Geneva and Zeva. I think in most cultures, and I'm not an anthropologist, so I'm just sharing my impression. Okay. Our anthropologist just walked through the door. Okay. We agree in all cultures, right?
In all cultures.
But in most cultures, Geneva and Gezela, while seen as a terrible thing, is viewed in a very, you know, mostly in a very pragmatic way. As part of the larger world of Nezek, Mazik is not a good thing either. Of course, there's a huge difference between Mazik and Geneva and Gezela, in that Mazik is often, or by its nature, it's usually even inadvertent, and it's usually viewed as a matter of, you know, dollars and cents. If you damage somebody's property and you cause him monetary loss, so obviously you have to pay. There is tashlumin, but you know, again, in most cultures, I think it's fair to say that mazik is a practical quid pro quo kind of a problem. Namely, you caused me, you inflicted damage to me, and you have to make me whole. You have to redress, you know, the disadvantage that you put me in. But beyond that, you know, it's not, you know, there's nothing more transcendent, one could say, about mazik. It's certainly true. And I think, by and large, in most cultures, that's true about Geneva and Gezela as well. Even though, again, the inadvertence of most mazik is not to be equated with the intentionality of Geneva and of Gezela. But nonetheless, we see this more as many cultures, at least, I think, they see it more as a practical problem. In Halacha, I think there are two elements that, you know, that perhaps are different. Number one is that Nezek itself is seen somewhat differently. If we were discussing if we were learning the first part of the Masechta, namely the first six prakim, which deal with mazik, and Niske Mamon and Adama Mazik. So I would have started by emphasizing this point more fully. But we learned Bava Kamma a number of years back, and I think we learned Sanhedrin also. I like to quote the Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Right, Hayman the boy lemeheva chasida. Gemara says if you want to be a chasid, so lishtai rather you should be dealing with. And then the Gemara has different perspectives: mili de avos, mili de brachos, mili de nezikin. So as we pointed out then, mili de brachos, mili de avos is very understandable. Avos is, you know, ethics of the father, the way they translate it, and you know, basically it's about values and ethics to inculcate. One understands that if you want to be a chassid, which refers not only to minimal conduct, but lifnim mishuras adin, as the Rambam explains, so you have to have good values, and you have to, you know the principles that are developed in Masechet Avos, and you have to know them well, and you have to internalize them. They should be part of your own personality. Mili de brachos, also, if you, I think next year the yeshiva is supposed to learn brachos, so I guess we'll talk about that more fully next year. But the idea of brachos, if you understand the brachos well, when you make a bracha, the nusach ha-bracha, what's mechayev you in the bracha. So again, it's self-understanding, and it also is something that promotes a better relationship, and not a lamakom, certainly, in terms of your spiritual purpose, your raison d'etre in the world. Mili de nezikin is at first glance puzzling, because as I just said, every culture has to deal with nezikin, and nezikin seems to be the minimum, not the maximum. To be a chassid, you have to be lishtoi b'mili, or l'kiyume rather, the Gemara sees the expression l'kiyume mili de nezikin. Number one, what does l'kiyume mean in the context of nezikin? In the context of brachos and in the context of avos, we understand those are kiyumin. In nezikin, it's not kiyumim, it's avoidance and it's isurim. And as I say, it's the minimum in any culture. If you have a extremely spiritually impoverished or unambitious culture, they're still going to have, the one thing they're certainly going to have is dina nezikin. Because otherwise people just can't, practically, they just can't live together. So what do you mean, l'kiyume mili de nezikin, and why are you a chasid? But if you look at the Gemara explains that what's referred to is harchakas nezakin. The obligation to bury machatin and other things in the ground, basically it's a limitation within your own property. You limit your own rights in order, even within your domain, in order to safeguard other people. And that really is a tremendously high madrega of chassidus, and that's a lekiyume. But having said that, it's also clear that if there's an obligation of harchakas nezakin, to such an extent, then we look at the whole idea of nezek differently too. We don't look at it only as a pragmatic issue. You caused me $100 loss, and therefore you've got to pay. It's also that, and maybe primarily that, and we're going to be contrasting Gneva and Gazela and Mazik, as well as comparing them. But the point is, the fact that there is this facet of l'kiyume, of chasidus, of harchakas nezakin, surely that adds a dimension, put it that way, to the more universal concept of Nezek as well. And it makes it not just a matter of money, but also a matter of values. And that's why it could be that there is either a chiyuv or an iser when it comes to Nezikin. We speak about Shlichos Ledvar Avera, something that we talked a lot about last year in Kiddushin. But we noted then, right? The Gemara is one of the Gemara's examples is Shlichus Advar Aveira. The Gemara discusses in terms of Bar, in terms of Eish, in terms of Mazik. They call it Navera. The Gemara speaks about Ein Onshin Yon Adin. Again, in the context of, we have to know whether these are just Melitzos Bialma, and they're not meant to be taken precisely, but they're more an example of broader ideas. That's possible. But it's certainly suggestive that when it comes to Nezikin, there isn't only a question of Benadim L'chaveir and only a question of dollars and cents, but there's a question of values and personal responsibility and so on. And if that is true on the Nezikin side of it, generally, undoubtedly there's still an added element beyond that when it comes to Geneva and Gzela, because of its intentionality, as I mentioned before. But also, because I think this is something that we're going to be pursuing more fully, The notion of kinyan in halakha is such that the violation of kinyanin is always going to be more than about dollars and cents. It's going to be that. It's going to be almost like a violation, an encroachment upon that person's rights. I don't know how to say human rights, but maybe even that. Again, we spoke last year in the beginning of the year about the idea of kiddushin as kinyan. And we tried to explain that that while most kinyanim express themselves in terms of choshe mishpat ownership, you acquire something, you own it, and so on. But the fact that something like kinyan is so prominent in kiddushin reflects the fact that the application, notwithstanding the real idea of kinyan, is not just about ownership. It's about developing a legal relationship, in some cases, between a person and an object, in the case of kiddushin, and so on, between different people. We speak of the Rabbanu Shalom as Kone Shamayim Va'aretz. The idea of kinyan, then, is itself not just about dollars and cents, ownership and ownership rights, but reflects a certain orientation, the legal, formal actions that you take in order to establish rights and obligation towards other people or other things. And that's why Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron isn't even a politically correct issue or problem. On the contrary, it's about developing legal rights and relationships. And for that reason, when you violate someone's legal rights and his relationship, even if it's to an object, which is what happens in the case of Gneva and Gezeila, so it transcends dollars and cents. What you're really doing is you're violating his rights. You're not just diminishing or impoverishing his bank account. And that's very important. The fact that Gneva and Gezeila are accomplished through the means or the vehicle of kinyan, and that the Ganef and Gazlan develop a kinyan in the act of Gneva or Gezeila, there's a certain irony. Well, the first point is not an irony. The second point is an irony. But again, one which I think reflects that there's more going on in Gneva and Gezeila than even, certainly than routine Mazik and routine Gneva and Gezeila, but even more than one might have anticipated in Gneva and Gezeila. You have to do it, Bederach Kinyan. It's a legal act. There's a shame Ganef Gazlan, which is more than just being a Mazik. It's accomplished by violating someone's Kinyanim, through or by means of creating your own kinyan, and then there are rights and a connection between the Ganef and the Gazlan and the object that is an important part of the story of Gneva Gezeila, and again, an issue that we'll be pursuing in detail. How that kinyan begins, what its scope is, how it affects nations like Zeila, Asher, Gazal, and so on and so forth. But the fact that there is this encroachment upon and violation of kinyanim, or the substitution, or the effort to supplant one kinyan for another, already reflects that Gneva and Gezeila is not just, there's no just mazik in halacha, but even if there was a just mazik in halacha, Gneva and Gezeila seems to transcend that anyway. The fact that we have various parshios in the Torah that deal with Gneva and Gezeila is surely significant as well. This ubiquity is something that always requires an understanding. And there are different models. I mean, Chazal speak about this in different places. Recently in Parshas HaShavua, we had it in terms of dam. Like, why does the Torah keep emphasizing the Isser of Achilas dam? A couple of years ago, we learned Masachet Shabbos. We began speaking about this a little bit. All the various parshios, the Rambam and Ramban and Sefer Mitzvos discuss this. How come Shabbos is mentioned in so many different parshios? Bris Mila. Whenever you find this kind of ubiquity, it can be explained in different ways. It can be explained in a very pragmatic way. This is a serious problem, and therefore it's repeatedly dealt with in halacha. That's how some explain the issue of dam and Shabbos in particular. Shabbos is every week, and dam is a taiva that people have. Or it could reflect other things, and they're not mutually exclusive. It could reflect chomer, how significant and important this matter is. And then the question arises, if it's not just about practical frequency of the challenge, but it's about the significance and the centrality of the idea, So then looking at these particular contexts becomes important as well. Where does the Torah address this frequent topic? And what does that tell us about its relationship to other things and its centrality? That's, I think, a good approach in general when we find this, when we encounter this phenomenon, and we do encounter it with Geneva and Gezeila as well. Where does it appear? How often does it appear? In what context does it appear? All these are significant. So I'd like to begin with is maybe the most prominent place that it might be appearing, and analyze whether it does, but just briefly, it's a much bigger topic. I don't want to go into all the details. And that is, of course, to begin with, the Aseres HaDibros. If Geneva and Gezeila, or some form of that, is included in Aseres HaDibros, then surely that is very significant. The other nine of the Dibros are obviously very significant. The fact that they were chosen to form this foundation is important. Whether the foundation of Aseres HaDibros is mitzvos or categories that are more important or more basic, or whether it's simply a kind of a succinct encapsulation of everything else. But clearly the fact that something appears on the list of Aseres HaDibros gives it a certain prominence. The question is Geneva, Gzela, does that appear on this list? Well, that seems like a very peculiar question. You know, Nisi, Sefer, Venechazi. You know, we have two versions of the Aseres HaDibros. We should just open them up. Parshas Yisro and Parshas of Skanda. And we'll see right away whether or not this appears or not. What's the mystery? Of course, it's not as simple as that. The question is whether or not Geneva and Gezeila are represented on the list, even if they're not explicit on that list. And by that I mean the following. Number one, you have the pasuk, one of the Aseres HaDibros is lo signo. Rashi already explains in his Perush al HaTorah, based on Chazal, that lo signo doesn't refer to Geneva's mamon, but to Gneivas Nefesh, to kidnapping. Kidnapping is obviously a much more heinous crime than Gneivo Gezeila. However, having said that, I think two points should be noted. Number one, here and there we find Makoros, either in Chazal or Rishonim, Rambam on occasion, according to certain Girsos, where the Pasuk lo signo is related also to Gneva's mama. The question is whether that's simply a mistake, you know, kind of an imprecise citation of the pasuk. They meant lo signovu of Parshas Kedoshim, and they quote lo signov of Aseres HaDibros, possibly. Or is that kind of a subtle way of projecting the following idea? And that is, even if the pasuk in the Aseres HaDibros refers exclusively to kidnapping, we could ask a slightly different question. And that is, does the fact that the Torah uses the phrase Gneva in connection with kidnapping, is that significant? Both for kidnapping and for our purposes right now, especially for Gneva. The Torah couldn't find any other way, and clearer way, more explicit way to signify kidnapping. So we don't need the Rashi or the Chazal to explain. Why shouldn't a regular Reuven and Shimon, reading the Aseres HaDibros, be able to know right away that lo signo means kidnapping? And what advantage is there to the Torah using the expression lo signo, which is potentially misleading? What justifies that? I think that is always a legitimate question. I think we always have to be careful how we answer that question. We shouldn't project too much, or we should be careful in our speculation, because we are only speculating. But I think it's legitimate at least to ask whether or not, when the Torah does things like that, whether or not the intention might not be to convey that even though this is kidnap, and that's the Masorah, and that's why it's in Aseres HaDibros, there is something about kidnapping which is drawn from the world of Geneva, and which therefore reflects on the seriousness and centrality of Geneva as well. In that sense, is there kind of an echo of Gneva and the Aseres Adibros. And the fact that either, you know, Chazal here and there or Rishonim are not as careful and do quote Lo Signov instead of Lo Signovu may be related to that as well. Not that they were quoting imprecisely, their way of showing, you know, Gneva is a very serious violation. And even though technically that isn't what it's referred to in Aseres Adibros, the use of the term shows you that there is a common denominator, at least, or some common denominator that surely is significant as well. The best scenario would be if those citations would always be in a context which would justify, you know, kind of push or project that added dimension. And I'm not sure if they all are, but at least that's something to consider. That's one issue in the Aseres Adibros. I think the more explicit issue, of course, is the other candidate, and that is Lo Sachmot. Sachmot is a topic in its own right. I'm really going to focus very narrowly on the basic sheet notes just today for our purposes, because we're interested in knowing whether or not Lo Sachmot is connected to Gzela, to Gneva Gzela, or not. The Torah speaks about Gneva explicitly in Parshas Kedoshim, Lo Signovu, plural. It's interesting that the Chazal Medrash in Parshas Kedoshim, and the Ramban elaborates this, says that, you know, Kedoshim was said be Hakel, and because Gufei Torah are analyzed there, delineated there, and then the Ramban, based on Chazal, explains that there may be a correspondence between what appears in Parshas Kedoshim and the Aseres Adibros. So then you have to figure out, you know, where are all these dinim in Kedoshim, how are they represented in Aseres Adibros. So if you look at the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechaye, so they, you know, take up this challenge, and different perspectives are suggested. In terms of Lo Sachmot, in some formulations it's connected with V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, which makes a lot of sense. In others, Ben Bechai, it's associated with Geza. Lo Sigzal is represented in Aseres Adibros through Lo Sachmot. So basically, just to back up for a moment, the Torah speaks about Lo Sachmot in both of the Aseres Adibros. The question is, what really does it mean? Similar to the question that I raised a second ago about Lo Signov, about kidnapping, one could ask the linguistic question about the use of the term Lo Sachmot in Aseres Adibros. Namely, the Torah intentionally seemed to have picked a very vague or ambiguous or equivocal term. The question is, why did it do that? Why would it want to leave us, even temporarily, in a state of confusion about something as important as the Aseres Adibros? The Ibn Ezra, in his Perush al Torah, says, you know, what is Chimud? If you look in Tanakh, you'll find that sometimes Chimud refers to Gezel, and other times Chimud refers to hear or believe. Our Psukim in Tanakh, Lechan or Lechan, that support either of these very, very different interpretations. So Ibn Ezra says, well, which is it? And then he goes on, lengthy piece, to try to explain what it is. But Ibn Ezra was interested in being machriya, the question. I'm interested in the choice of terminology such that the question should arise to begin with. Why did the Torah use a term which Tanakh uses in two very, very different, radically different ways, sometimes to refer to Hiru Alev, and other times to refer to Geza? Is it possible that even if we conclude that Lo Sachmot in the Aseres Adibros is a reference to Gezel, the fact that it uses a term connected to Machshava is significant? It tells us that the action in its own right isn't all that's problematic, but what it went into it, what it reflects about the Goslem as a Gavra, and the thought process that allowed this to take place, that is part of the Machayev of Gzela as well, along the lines of a more transcendent problem than routine mazik, even routine halachic mazik. Or in the other direction, if indeed Balsachmod only means hirhor, does the fact that this hirhor uses a terminology, it doesn't say Balsachshov, it doesn't say Balsaharher, it says Balsachmod, a phrase which is sometimes associated with Gezel, is that significant in terms of telling us the nature of this Iser Makshav? That's a question that we need to raise. In terms of the evidence itself, whether Balsachmod refers to Makshava or to Maisa, at first glance, the evidence is mixed. On the one hand, we certainly know that in the Devarim version, in the Beis Kanan version of Atzar Sadibros, it's not only Los Achmod, but it's connected to Los Esaveh. Los Esaveh is certainly about Machshava. That, of course, is kind of a double-edged sword. So on the one hand, you have Los Achmod and Los Esaveh. Maybe that implies that Sachmod is dafka not machshava, and the fact is that in Yisro, all you have is Los Achmod. On the other hand, the proximity of Los Esaveh raises the possibility that everything is hirhor, and we're just talking about different levels of hirhor, which is the view of many other Rishonim. So that's one issue, to figure out the exact relationship between Los Esaveh and Los Achmod. Again, I'm going to shortcut that one because I don't want to spend so much time on Los Achmod. I'm mostly interested in the Gzela aspect of it. Let's just say that one of the issues is certainly going to be whether in Minyan HaMitzvos you count Los Esaveh and Los Achmod as one or separate mitzvot. And that clearly is a machlokas or Rishonim. The Rambam, the Chinuch count Sachmod and Esaveh separately. The Smak, among others, counts them as one. On the other side of it, we have the Mechilta. The Mechilta in Parshas Yisro, on Los Achmod, says that it's necessary to achieve or to attain the goal of your Chibur Alev, of your desire. It's not enough to, as Avigdor would say, to kavet, it's necessary that you accomplish through your coveting. Okay, that would imply that Los Achmod and the Aseres HaDibros is a reference to Maisa, not simply Hirhor or Machshav. However, even then, the issue is not so simple. And it's important to distinguish between two different questions. One question is, what does it take in order to violate Los Achmod? Meaning, what are the conditions in which you violate Los Achmod? Plain and simple. What do you have to do in order to qualify for the Aveira? We don't want you to do it. I don't mean to imply otherwise. But what action, what circumstances trigger Los Achmod? That's one question. What are the tna'ei ha-chiyu? What are the conditions of chiyu? There is, however, a second question that I think is totally separate from it, although normally one would think that there should be linkage between these two issues. The second question is not what do you have to do to violate, but what is the nature or character of the violation? What is the mechayiv of Los Achmod? The first question is a practical question. Namely, what do you have to do? Is it enough to be coveting in your mind? Is a passing thought enough to violate? Only a deeper, more compulsive obsession? How do we gauge that? Or, if you have to do more, so what do you have to do? You have to attain the object of your desire? You have to attain it through pressure? Do you have to attain it by actually grabbing the object forcibly? Do you have to attain it without paying for it? I mean, there are various possible conditions, places to draw the line in terms of the conditions. What triggers Lamaisa? What triggers Losach? That's one question. But that is not necessarily identical to the second question, which is, what is conceptually the nature and character of this Iser? And getting back to what we spoke of before, let's just make it clear in terms of two extremes. One way is to say that Losach mode is what I would call a Hilchos Deos Halacha, which means that it's really about proper halachic personality values. How focused should you be on the amassing of material wealth? How obsessed should you be with it? The Rishonim would speak about being the Sameach Bechelko, or I mentioned before, that's even Ezra, V'ahavta L'Rayacha Kamocha. If these are represented by Lo Sachmo in the Aseres HaDibros, so this is not primarily about Zela, or Gneva, or Mazik. It's not a din in Sefer Nezikin. These are halachos that very much belong to, again, Mili de Avos, if you will, or Mili de Brachos, and Hilchos Deos of the Rambam. If I were categorizing a Lo Sachmo, which is about Simcha Bechelko, and so on, I would put it in Hilchos Deos. The Rambam didn't. We'll get back to that in a minute. But that's what I would have done. That's one kind of halacha. Now, it could be that in order to trigger this Iser, this violation, you have to do quite a bit. In other words, if you walk by and your neighbor has a nice home or a nice car, and you say, ah, that's nice, I'd like one of those for myself, it could be that that is not a violation of Lo Sachmo. It's not, it doesn't reflect a person who's not Sameach Bechelko or who is obsessed with material goods. He has some material aspirations. Some people will tell you there may even be nothing wrong with that. Even if it's not a constructive thing, it's certainly not necessarily a violation of Lo Sachmod. So even if we're talking about a Hilchos Deos type of Lo Sachmod, it's quite possible that in order to violate, you have to reflect a higher level of unhealthy obsession. Namely, if you can't get it out of your mind, and you start planning, you know, how you're going to get this object, and nothing, even more, nothing will stop you, and even if it means stealing from your friend and not even paying him the money, even then you'll do it because you're so obsessed. So obviously that is you know, pathological, halachically pathological, even more so. And as such, you violate the Hilchos Deos. So the point is, even if we were to look at Lo Sachmo in terms of values, we would still want to know what level of activity triggers this. The same thing may be true in the opposite extreme. The other possibility is, again, that Lo Sigzol is represented in the Aseres HaDibros through Lo Sachmo. It's primarily about Gezeila. In which case, the prominence of Gneva and Gezeila has been established, because it's one of the Aseres HaDibros. We still have my second question to consider, and that is, does the fact that the Torah used this phrase and not simply Lo Sigzol or Lo Signovu, is that significant in telling you something about the transcendent character of the Iser Gzela? I think the answer is very possibly yes. But even here, we have to ask ourselves, well, what triggers this act of Gezel? So in the extremes, one could say that, one would expect that if the Hilchos Deos, if there's a Hilchos Deos basis for Lo Sachmo, then in theory, we'd be more comfortable with the trigger, the Tnai Achiyu being Machshava, Hiror. If, on the other hand, we see Lo Sachmo as a form of Gezel, so then the Pashtus, we would presume that it requires some sort of action, and maybe even an extreme action, where you cause a Hefsid Mamon to your neighbor. Maybe real Gezel, classic Gezel, which is taking money from someone and impoverishing him forcibly, and impoverishing him in the process. He loses his ban, and he loses his money. So one would think that there should be this correlation. But as I mentioned in the one side before, not necessarily. Just as on the Sameach Bechelko, V'ahavta L'Rayacha Kamocha, Hilchos Deos side, one might say there's a shiur, a higher level. You have to be significantly focused and even obsessed that you'd be willing to or actually will go so far. So too, it's possible to suggest that Lo Sachmo is about Gezel. But maybe it's a more moderate form of gezel than the conventional gezel that we encounter. And maybe one could even go a step further and suggest that that the gezel that we speak of here is machsheves gzela, the planning to do gzela. Gzela is so heinous, so unacceptable, so pernicious to the religious personality, the Torah's gezel, that even planning it and thinking about it already is an aspect of gezel. If conceptually, or even if only practically, the gezel of the Aseres HaDibros is triggered, the first question, even by Hirhur Machshava, that would explain why we don't use conventional terminology of gezel and geneva, but we use the expression losach. Okay. So this, basically what I've said so far, is losis aveh is one piece of evidence. The Mechilta is a second piece of evidence. Losis aveh points in the direction of Machshava. The Mechilta points in the direction of Maisa. And then we've raised two separate issues. One is, what do you have to do to violate Losach mode? Or you could say, what shouldn't you do in order not to violate Losach mode? That's one question. Number two is, what is the nature, what is the character of this violation? And then we've basically just now said, what is the relationship of these two questions? In theory, one would have expected or anticipated that the more this is about Hichos Deos, the less of a concrete action close to the conditions of Gezel you require. The more it's Gezel, it should look like a conventional Gezel. On the other hand, right, there is room to expand Gzela to include Machsheva Gzela or a moderate Gzela, even if that's what this is, and I will explain the terminology. By the same token, even if we're talking about basically an Issa Machsheva, or values or personality, it's possible that Torah uses a language of Chimud, which also implies Gezel, because a passing thought is insufficient. You need your obsession and your improper focus to be established very, very clearly by actions on the ground as well. And therefore, the relationship of the two issues is a little bit complicated. Okay. Having said that, so let's get back to the Mechilta. So the Mechilta, as I mentioned, is quoted by the Rambam in Hilchos Gezela in Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph, Hilchos Gezela. Anybody have it open? I'm moving a little quickly, and I'm mostly talking today because I want to get through this part of the Haggadah today. We're trying to do Oshav. Oh, by the way, Sunday, before I forget, normally Sunday shiur is around 11:30. Sometimes it starts at 11:45. This week we're going to make it an hour earlier. We're not going to go an hour later, but I have a wedding and okay, and other things. So so this Sunday we're going to start at let's say make it 10:45 instead of 11:30, okay. Or 11:45. Okay, but this Sunday 10:45, and I really want to try to start with Oshek on Sunday, maybe just a few other haros that we don't get through today. The Rambam Hilchos Gezela, you have there, David. On you for a while. Perek Aleph Halacha Tes quotes this Mechilta.
Kol Chomed Avdo Amaso Obeso Vekilav Shachavero Al Kol Davar Sheefshar Lo Sheiknehu Mimenu Vechbir Alav Biroim
Bireim
Bireim Vehipsir Bo Ad shalachum imenu, afal pishin nasam lo domin rabin hori ze over v'lo tarsa shenemar
b'sach. Yeah. So this, of course, we'll get back to this, but the Rambam clearly believes that chimud, that sachmod, requires pressure, right? That's, he's chomed, he has this obsession. And he's hichdid al abarein v'hiftzu bo, which means he, you know, he uses a fellow's friends and relatives to put pressure on him. Ad shelekacho mimenu. And the Ram says, until he attains his goal, right? Even though he pays for it, then the Rambam adds, "The elokin alav zem if they shame a maisa, the ain over balav zeh." Go ahead.
In over balav zeh, and she yikach achitet shekomen. The ingin shenema l'sach mitkesef lizav alayem.
So this end of the Rambam, in over balav zeh, she yikach achitet shekomen. Ingin shenema l'sach mitkesef lizav alayem. This is a quotation. I just didn't get a chance to bring in this of the Mekilta itself. That's a quotation of the Mekilta. And that's the Rambam's basis for assuming that Chimud isn't simply Machshava Bialma, but it is a Maisa. That's the Mekilta. So it would seem there's a Mekilta, and therefore any discussion of Hirhur Bialma triggering Losach mode is moot. The issue has been decided. However, it's not so simple. The fact is that there are some openings, notwithstanding the Mechilta. The Rambam holds by the Mechilta, the Raivit holds by the Mechilta, the Bali Tosus hold, Bali Tosus and the Gemara hold by the Mechilta, and nonetheless we find some exceptions. The exceptions that we find are as follows. Number one, there's a girsa in the Bali Tosas Ala Torah, Moshe of Zakenim. Again, I didn't give you this because I don't want to spend that much time on this topic. But if you look at the Moshe of Zakenim Ala Torah, which is a collection of Bali Tosas, so they quote in the name of Rabbi Yosef B'chor Shar. It's not in Rabbi Yosef B'chor Shar, it's Perush Ala Torah, to my knowledge itself. I've looked for it. But he quotes Rabbi Yosef B'chor Shar, who has apparently a different girsa in the Mechilta, where the distinction is not between Lekicha Sachetet Shechamad and Hirhur Biyama, but between Machshava or Hirhur and Dibur. Hotzi Adavar Bipiv, that triggers Mosachma. That's a view quoted by Rabbi Yosef Korshar in the Bali Tosas Ala Torah, Moshav's King. The Netziv in his parish on the Mechilta doesn't have a different girsa, but has a different interpretation. When Mechilta speaks about the requirement of it being a Maisa, the Netziv says that Maisa is Hishtadlus. It means effort. You shouldn't just, it's not enough to think about it or to speak about it. You have to really try to pressure the guy. Well, let's say you pressure him and you don't succeed, because he's pressure-proof, right? So then, what will happen? It seems, according to the Netziv's reading of the Mechilta, you would violate Losach. The third opening is in the Smak. The Smak in Sefer Mitzvos Katan does three things that are important. Number one, when he explains the violation of Los Achmod, he makes it clear that the Lav is violated partially, if not fully, by Machshava or Hirhur Biyama. He says, if you want to trigger the Malkus, so then it's Ad Sheyikach Es HaChefetz Shechama. But the Machshava or the Hirhur is sufficient to make him over Al HaIsa. It's a kind of like a, if you will, a kind of Chatzi Shir for Lo Sach. That's a smack. So the question is, how do we understand these three shitas? That Hirhur can work, and yet the full chiyuv or full malchus is only b'lekichas achem v'shechamad. That's a smach mimanushach. Right? If it's Hirhur and it's Hilchos Deos, then let it be the lesser one. And if it's gzela, and the only way to get the malchus is ad sheyikach achem v'shechamad. So well, why should there be chatzishir? You can say there's chatzishir of gzela and gneva. Well, when you planted to pull a heist, right? Smak didn't say that about Gneva and Gzeil. How do we understand that? Or the Moshe of Zkenim. Hirhur Bialma is one thing. Ad Shehotzi Dvarav B'Piv. So the guy calls a press conference, right? And he says, I really want this chafetz, I really want it bad. So, what does that do? The chafetz is still sitting in the full kinyan of the of its owner. If not here or then why? Then why bepid? Or for the nitziv, just one second. Hishtadlus. Hishtadlus is an important concept, right? We find it in many other important areas of halacha mashkafa. But why is hishtadlus important philosophically? Right, we understand. Either you're obsessed, you're thinking about it. You shouldn't be thinking about it. It's an improper thought. Right? Or you shouldn't be doing it. But trying to do it, what kind of chatzishir, what kind of middle state is that? I think, in light of what we said, yeah.
That's where we're calling this spot, chatzishir. Sounds like he's only allowed entirely, which is the question of whether or not you can the nonish out of this. It's a separate question. We got the way you require for nonish. It's allowed. It's not
right. If you look at the language of the smak, the problem isn't smak.
The smag has the same sheet that was of the sakwa being identified as the glossa sabbath, so the chim is enough.
Right.
He doesn't.
That's because he equates the two. Yeah. The smag does also, but it's the language of the smag and the smak are totally different. I'll explain it in just a second, but the smak makes it perfectly clear that you don't fully violate. You violate losach mode, but not fully enough. And the problem of lack of malchus is not like, we'll get to the Rambam in a minute, that it's a lav shein b'maisa, or it's a lav shenitan l'tashlumin. You know, which is a more, you fully violate, just we can't give you malchus because there are technical requirements in order to implement malchus, and you haven't violated them. That's not the shot in the smak. In the smak, it's perfectly clear that there is a less intense form of losach mode, which is sufficient for violation, but insufficient for the full violation. And that's why I'm formulating it the way. The smak is a little different. Maybe we'll get to the smak. So I think that the answer is very simple. I think the Netziv, the Smak, the Moshe Tzkenim, all take the view that the Mechayiv of Losach Mode is Yisur Machshav. It's Yerubalei. It's an incorrect balance or improper obsession with attaining material goods. But again, the question is, how do you document that objectively? Not only document it for the courts, but how do you assess it and gauge it for himself? Okay, if I walk by and I see he has a nice house, I'm really not allowed to think, I wish I had one too, or I'd like to get one, or maybe even think a little bit, you know, maybe I'll make him an offer. Not an offer that he can't refuse, but an offer at least. Is that really a violation of losach mode? Maybe it's already a violation of losach mode, but is it a violation of losach mode? Even losach mode, the question is, here be alma, here or there, the pashtus is not even most asaf. So the answer is you have to have a little bit more of an obsession. You have to be a little bit more focused than that. Where do you draw the line? So the smak says, basically, there are two levels. If you're already thinking about it very seriously, right, that's already a violation of the iser. But it's not the full violation. That's only Achika Hakefa Shachamad. Only that gets malchus. How do I know this in the smak? The smak counts losach mode in minyan mitzvos. The smak scheme of minyan mitzvos was to divide them by days of the week. Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Rivi. All the days of the week represent different types of averos. The losach mode is in Yom Rishon. Yom Rishon are averos shebelev. He says it. The mechayim of losach mode is lev. How can it be Achika Chachevet Shachamad? He accepts the Mechilta. But he accepts the Mechilta as the full violation. Right? There can be what I call the kind of a Chatzi Shir. Why? Because the Chiddush really is the Mechilta, not the Hearer. It's all about Hearer. So if you have Hearer, then you violate. But Hearer B'Alma is nothing. Maybe even for the lesser Avera, Hearer B'Alma or Over is nothing. It has to be a little more than that. So the full obsession is only when you won't take no for an answer. You just won't stop until you get what you want. So that's why he also integrated the smak din, lo sasabe and lo sachmo, into one isa. Because it's just two levels of the same thing, basically. That's a snot. I think the same is true if you accept the Mechilta according to the Nitziv's Peirush or the version of Moshe's Kain. There's a difference between Bitui Beper and Machshava Belev, not necessarily from a Gezel point of view, but from an obsession point. Is this, do we have everybody? Do you want to, Elsa, do you want to bring your name? Oh, anybody else? If anybody else is going to be here, and, it's a good time to put your name on the list today. So. Oh, okay. So the point is, when it comes to Gezel, the difference between Belev and Beper is incomprehensible. But if we're talking about a shiur in Machsheves Chimud, then there's a huge difference between thinking about something and articulating it. It's a totally different level. When you can't, you know, stop from talking about it, that's a different level of obsession or improper focus. That is the idea, I think, of Moshe's Kainim. And I think that's the idea of the Nitziv. The Nitziv says, listen, if you're thinking about it, it's one thing. If you're involved in Ishtadlus, you're actually making a serious effort, that's obviously far more problematic. You're actually trying to implement, now you can't implement your plan, but not for reasons of it not being serious, but the, you know, either you're ineffective in the follow-through or he's just impenetrable. He's going to hold on to his object no matter what. He resists the pressure. But the machshava is fully there. So I think these three perspectives all focus on those sachmod, nothing to do with Gezel. Not our topic. What if you actually interpret the Mechilta of Kipshuta? Well, let me take one more point. Let's say you say Chimud means Yerba. Does that exclude Gezel? If you say that all you require for the Tanai Chiyu is Machshav of a hero, you still hear me? Last year, at least, it was like, you know, a rally for the workers. That was something we could identify with. If all you require to trigger Losachma is hero or Machshava, does that exclude the possibility that this is about Gezel? So the answer is also no. And that, of course, is the view of those Rishonim who say that Atzar Sadibros represents Gezel through Los Achmod, but who still argue that it's simply Machshava, clear day in Rabbeinu Bechai. But even more explicit, the view of the Sefer Achim.
The Sefer Achim thinks that the Los Sabbath.
Yeah. Sefer Chinuch asks the question, very good. Sefer Chinuch asks the question, does Los Asav and Los Achmud apply to non-Jews? And he says, the answer has to be no, because otherwise there wouldn't be Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. There would be Shmona Mitzvah B'nei Noach. So he says, well, actually, it does apply. And the answer to the question is, when we speak about Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, we're speaking not about seven details, but about seven categories. And Los Asave and Los Achmod are essentially Machsheves Gzela, and therefore they're included under the rubric of Gezel. Yeah.
I mean, the other side of the coin is how broad are the categories of Gezel for Shemitz Meninoch. It's all inclusive category, you know, with all the DNA, anything that basically comes under. But so
then right. I mean, in theory, that could be
true. That
well, even then, but the point seems to be that he's comfortable. I mean, the Chinuch doesn't say, well, with regard to Bnei Noach, since we have a watered down definition, so we can include that under the rubric of Gezel. That's all he says.
This is a name close.
Yeah, but presumably it sounds like the Chinuch would, you know, if we had him, we could find out. But if we were interrogating the Baal Sefer Chinuch right now, it would be legitimate to ask him, and I think that we would assume, all things being equal, unless he corrected us, that even for Yisrael, Losach Mod is a form of Gezel. It's part of the Klalus of Gezel.
Losasabe,
and by extension, Losach Mod. Right? Losach Mod even more so. If it's true for Losasabe, it's certainly true for Losach Mod. The Chiddush is that it's even true for Losasabe. And the Chiddush is that it's even true for, but in other words, you're raising an interesting point, which is, since all Benoach has his Gezel, so maybe that's just a wider, that's the way of saying Choshen Mishpat for a non-Jew. Which may be true. Although, you know, it may not be true. It could be the Dinin is that. The Dinin means Choshen Mishpat. That's only how the Ramban understands it. But, that aside, there's another side to the issue, and that is, even if we're makbid, even on Machsheva's Gezel, when it comes to Yisrael, who has Tariag Mitzvot, for whom we project such high standards, is that necessarily true for a Benoach? So the way I look at the Sefer Chinuch is, even a Benoach is included, even a Benoach's Gezel includes Yisrael Machsheva's Gezel, even in the Los Asavah part, Kal v'chomer Benosho, Kal v'chomer, that we look at Los Achmod and Li Yisrael as a form of Gezel. I think that's, again, you know, I'm not saying it's impossible to say otherwise, but I think that is a more obvious conclusion to be reached in Sefer Chinuch. In which case, we have the other extreme. We have Machshava, and then Losava, if not Losachmo, but the model, once it exists, exists. And for many of the Chai, it exists in the relationship between Parshas Kedoshim and the Aseret HaDibros, in terms of Machshava's Gezel, being a form of Gezel. But I think that is a very, instead of just saying, oh, so they hold its Gezel, end of story, I think it's important that we extract the hashkafic significance of that, namely, that, even Machsheva's Gzela is a form of Gzela. What does that say about Gezel? It says that it isn't just about dollars and cents. It says it's about a Gavra, Gazlan, and the violation of other people's, Kavod Abrios, and their, sense, violation, like we use the word today. It's a violation, not just an act of hazak. And I think Machsheva's Gzela proves that in the extreme. Getting away from those shitas for the moment, what about according to the mainstream, who hold that Mechilta is Kipshuto, and it's the total story, named Achi Yikach Achepetz Ashachamat, like the Rambam said. So according to them, is it obvious now that Losachmot is Gezel and not Machsheva? Or could one say that just as we suggested for the Netziv and for the Moshe's Kenim and for the Smak, namely, that Hirhur isn't enough, even though Hirhur is the Mechayiv, it's an Isur Machshava, but you require a Shiur of some sort to trigger that Isur Machshava. It has to be a certain intensity of Machshava. So maybe you require one step beyond, not only the effort and not only the articulation. And not just the Chatzi Shir, but Achi Yikachev Shachama. Literally, you have to be so obsessed that you will not stop until you achieve your goal. When you achieve your goal, it's not Gezel that we're concerned about on the Losachmod side of it. It's the actual reinforcement of your obsession. Or no? Or shall we say, if you really hold literally like the Mechilta, that you need Achikachet Shachamad, that that is a form of Gezel itself, because Lekichas HaChefetz. That, I think, still remains to be discussed, as does the second question. That is, Achikachet HaChefetz HaShachamad, paying or not paying? So the Rambam says clearly, David read it before, right? David, what does it say? Paying or not paying?
Paying.
Okay, even if you pay.
Not from those damim, rabim, or the rabbis.
Not only damim, but damim rabim. You gave him a good price.
Damim yikarim, or damim yikarim.
What? Right
to the rabim.
Yeah. So the Rambam and Rabim both agree that the pshat in the Mechilta is when you pay. Is it possible in the other extreme, that's one extreme is here or beyond, but the other extreme is not only ad sheikach hachefetz ha-shochamad, but ad sheikach b'li l'sham. Is that possible, Simi? Any source for that? Actually, yikach hachepetz b'li l'shalim. Huh? So it depends on how you read the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Okay, again, I'm moving through these makoros more quickly than I otherwise would, because I just want to use this as an introduction and not more. I don't want to get involved in the nitty gritty of the sugya of Pesach Mod. So what happens in that Gemara? You have the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Hayim and Beis. How does it go? The Shaka V'Tarya? The person is a shomer, and instead of taking a shvua to make himself shvua a shomer to be poter atzmo, he's willing to pay the mafkin. He's willing to pay the mafkin, which sounds like a good thing, except that we're a little worried that something fishy may be going on here, right? Namely, that maybe he's really suppressing the object for himself because he likes it and knows he can't convince the fellow to sell it to him. And therefore, we impose upon him midrabanan, that's the chiddush of Rav Huna, a shvua she'ena b'rshusa. So the Gemara says, how's that going to help you? If you really think that he's a liar and that he's keeping this object in his possession, so how's it going to help you to force him to give a shvua? He'll lie about the shvua. Chasher mona should be chasher shvua. So what's the Gemara saying? So the Gemara says, he's more hefter. Since he's willing to pay the money, he looks himself in the mirror, he sees a tzaddik. Or at least he doesn't see a rashi. So he's not a liar. He would never lie under oath. Right in Bezdin. He's doing this, he's suppressing the other fellow's chayfetz. Yeah, but he's giving him top dollar. The fellow should have sold it to him anyway if he was, a decent, a neighbor. So basically, he's forcing him to be a good neighbor. He's not causing him any monetary loss. Therefore, he's more heter, and he'll go ahead and he'll do this. That's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara says, however, Sidney, go ahead. But isn't he violating Losach mode? In which case, how can we allow him to be Nishba? Right? Do you have the language of the Gemara there? So the Gemara says, L'inshi below dummy mashmur. Losach mode, L'inshi below dummy mashmur. It's a very vague answer. The Havamina was that even though you pay for what you receive, you violate losach. Right? That's the havamina. The question is, what is the maskana? So there are two ways to read the maskana. Right? One way is, losach mod l'inshi below dami mashma l'hum means that the people, correctly so, know that you only violate losach mod when you don't pay. And since here he's paying, because he's keeping the chayfetz, he's suppressing the other guy's object, but he's paying him for it. So that isn't losach mod. Le'inshi, common wisdom of the street, is correct, it's accurate, and therefore there's no losach mod. If there's no losach mod, the only question is chasher mona chasher ashvuasa, and he's more heter, so there's no problem. That is one way to read the Gemara. So then the Gemara ends up saying that losach mod applies only to Gezel Gomor, classical Gezel, where you don't pay for the object. Correct? What's the other way to read the Gemara?
People think this, but they are incorrect.
Right. People are misled into thinking. It's their own error that they think Inshi Mashmalahu, that's the emphasis. They think Losach Mod is only when you don't pay for the object, but they're absolutely wrong. So even though he is in violation of Losach, it's a bit of a chiddush in terms of the Gemara. The Gemara is saying you do violate Losach Mod, but that doesn't disqualify you from a shvua. It's not the objective maisavera that disqualifies you from the shvua. It is the loss of nemanus. So you don't have loss of nemanus if you don't realize that you're in violation. That itself is an interesting machlokas yesharim. Not for now. That's part of the sugya of chashir mamona, chashir ashvuasa, psuli edus, psuli shvua. Is it the same thing? Are they different? Different. We discussed it a couple of years ago. Those were here. We learned Sanhedrin. At the end of the year, we discuss that a little bit. Okay. So that's an important issue. So there are two ways to read the Gemara. So Tosis and Bava Metzia. Cindy, takes which view? The first view. Tosis asks the question. Do you have it open there? Tosis asks the question right away. Cindy, if you don't mind. Do you have it? Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Just real quick. Right, by asking the question, isn't this overlapping with Lo Sigzal, Tosis is clearly reading the Gemara that Lo Sachmod requires Hefsid Mamon. Okay, well, I guess in theory you could have read the question that way. We'll see whether, based on the answer, it's clear that it's more than that.
Yeah, or even the answer is saying that.
It's what the people think? It doesn't sound that way to me, but, and I don't think it sounds that way. I think once we have Tosas and Sanhedrin, it's even clearer that Tosas has two deus at this point. But, and I think the continuation of Tosas makes it even clearer, but, oh. Okay. Well, let's continue. The question's based.
Just my instinct there was to check the Tosas of Rush. Tosas of Rush makes it perfectly clear that Tosas takes a personality.
Yeah, I think so. And Tosas and Sanhedrin, first day as well. In Torah, typically below Sigzal. So instead of. I hear what you're saying, but I don't think it's borne out by the continuation. Let's read it our way for the moment. You'll see. I think it's Mokroch anyway. Lo Sigzal, right? What's the answer? Yeah. So again, Jakey wants to still say that's what he thinks, but then you'll have. It doesn't sound that way. But I think it's Barur Lagamri from the continuation. Vim Tomar. Again, is this also in his mind? Unless you want to say that too. But now Tos is asking a different question. What?
He's quite a Lamdan.
Yeah. And a bad Lamdan, you know, at that. Like, he's thinking a lot of things, but he's wrong all the time. So, like, is this such a phenomenon even? But it's good that you're being Lamed. Kiyoiv Dami Nami Chamsen Habe. Right? Tos is saying, oh, but what's the problem? So he's not in violation completely, but he's a Chamson, right? Because the Gemara says in Bava Kama, what does the Gemara say there in Bava Kama? Michael? And Samech base, yeah?
Three levels.
Three different phenomena. There's a Gazlan, there's a Chamson, and there's a? What?
No.
Well, Gazlan, Gan of Gazlan is the same for these. Yeah. So what are the three? How does it work out? So the Gemara says, what is the relationship? What are these three? We know there's something called Talui of Zabin, Zvini Zvini.
So he says Rosani.
Yeah. And
Chamson gives money, doesn't say Rosani.
And Gazlan?
And Gazlan doesn't give money.
Yeah. That's a very important Gemara. The Gemara says are three levels, a Gazlan, a Chamson, and a person who is Talui of Zabin, Zvini Zvini. A Gazlan doesn't pay. A Chamson pays, but he forces the issue. And without a rotzani, and the Kaluv Zom Zvini Zvini, again, like I said last year, we don't make a banquet for him. He's not necessarily the nicest fellow out there, but it's a Zvini Zvini, the Mecher is Kayim. He's not even a Chams. Okay, so Tulsa's saying, but according to that Gemara, what's a person who doesn't pay, a person who pays rather, is, if not a Gazlan, he's a Chamson. And the Torah says about Psiliedos, that a Chamson is Pasol Yedus. So either way, if you're Pasol Yedus, you're Pasol L'Shvua, you're Pasol Yedus, you should be Pasol L'Shvua here. Right? That's what Tosis is asking. Go ahead. A little louder. So, So Tosis is Mechadesh. Keep going, just one more line. The Shilia Gozel. Okay, the details are for another time. But basically, what Tosis ends up saying is a remarkable thing, and that is there's a difference between the Chamson and the Lashon of the Gemara, especially the Gemara in Samach Beis and Bava Kama, and the Chamson of Psukim. The Chamson of Torah Shebitzav is not the Chamson of the Bava Kama Samach Beis. That's Shalom Kipshuta. If you read the Gemara in Bava Kama, there's absolutely no inkling in the Gemara that's the definition that's Drabban. What motivates Tosfos to say it? The total is a total understanding of Shas, which is fine. I mean, you can't just take Bava Kama out of context, says Tosfos, because you see from our Gemara that the only person who violates Lo Sachmo, who violates a Daraisa when he pays, I'm sorry, there is a person who doesn't pay. A person who pays doesn't violate Daraisa. So what is Tosfos saying? That therefore, what conclusion you have to reach? The Chamson of the Gemara is a Din D'Rabbanan, the Chamson of the Psukim is Gazlan equals Lo Sachmod B'Dilo Yoiv Dami. That's Tosfos. And that's the first day of Tosfos in Sanhedrin as well. However, so according to what emerges from there is that Lo Sachmod, never mind Hirhor, never mind Ishtadlus, right? The Piv, even Atshiyika Chachetet Shachomad isn't enough, Kisha Mishalim. The Rambam and the Raibid do not meet the standards of Chamson Daraisa or Lo Sachmod, according to Bali Tosfos. And the Smag, I might add, all this way as well. According to Tosfos, Lo Sachmod and Gezel has the standard of Gezel. However, even within Bali Tosfos, we can still ask one question, and that is, so what does it mean? Tosfos says, Lavar Olav Bishnayim. So Lavar Olav Bishnayim means Kefal Alavin, because it's so chamor, that's a simple reading of Tosfos. It's possible to advocate something else based on what we've been saying, that would be a little more radical, and that is, maybe we should push our gauge of the obsession theory, you know, just one step further. This guy is, the only kind of obsession that really triggers a Lo Sachmod is an obsession not only that he won't stop until he gets what he wants, but he won't stop until he gets what he wants, even if he has to violate Lo Sigzal to do it. So then Lavar Olav Bishnei Lavin, the Tosfos question is a little different, but it's not exactly like what Jakey was saying. It's a real halakhic question, not just in his mind, but it's not exactly the way I was interpreting it 100% before either. The question is, why do you need Lo Sachmod if you have Lo Sigzal? The answer is Lavar Olav Bishnei. Not just because Gezel is so chamor, the Pashtus as it means, Gezel, so chamor, there are two lavin. Lavar Olav Bishnayim. Right? What I'm suggesting now is, Lavar Olav Bishnayim, meaning, it's true that when you do Lo Sachmo, you violate Lo Sigzal, but it's still important, Lavar Olav Bishnayim, because the Mechayim are totally different. In the case of Lo Sigzal, the Mechayim is the Hilchos Nezikin, the money that you rob. In the case of Lo Sachmo, if you're so preoccupied and obsessed, right, that you'll do Lo Sigzal in order to get what you want, that's a Lo Sachmod. And that's not just Gezel, that's a Seres HaDibros violation. I think that might be another way to understand what Tosfos is saying. Okay. Or no, it's pure Gezel. Most Rishonim, the Rambam and the Raavad, the second day of Tosfos in Sanhedrin, takes the other view of what Simi said, namely again, Simi one more time, B'inshi mashmalu means not that they're right, but that's their perception. But in fact, not Mephias, don't say Mephias. Why say Mephias? I mean, he pays money. Paying money is not the same as being Mephias. Mephias is a connotation of Rotsani. You don't want to get in, you know, we'll get to that in a second. No, not necessarily. Well, leave out the road funny for the moment. We'll get to that in a minute. But the point is, he doesn't think that he doesn't know that he's violating Lo Sachmod, so that's enough to give him to impose upon him the Shmua. But he, in fact, is violating Lo Sachmod, even though he's paying. That's Tosfos and Sanhedrin, correct? Anybody have Tosfos and Sanhedrin on them? You have it? No, go ahead. Just the second day. First day is the same. Okay, excellent. So basically, what happens? You violate Lo Sachmod. Yeah. What's the name, by the way?
Yoshua.
Okay. All the new, everybody was Nushin. Tell me their name.
I was just wondering if at this point now we have two types of Gazelle that would be motivated by Chanda, and then just regular Gazelle.
In according to Tosas, Bar Metzia?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so this is what I was...
The Shnei Lavan approach that we just said before. So now we have two types of Gazelle.
I'm not sure if it's two types. What I was saying before is either it's Kefal Lavan, which means it's one Gazelle, but we have two Lavan for it. Or what I'm saying is maybe what Tosas is saying is that there are two totally different Mechaivim. When you do an act of Gazelle, there are two things happening at the same time. One is Gazelle, that's the Kosha Mishpa, Tzik, and Halacha. And then in Hilchos Deos, you're also violating the Aseres HaDibros of Rosh Achna. Now, in theory, by the way, Tosas says every time you violate Lo Sachmod, it includes Lo Sigzol. This might be the Nafkamina. Tosas does not say the opposite. Every time you violate Lo Sigzol, you're in violation of Lo Sachmod. For example, let's say you didn't have a... What?
That was my question.
Oh, good. Yeah. Exactly. That would be excellent. So that would be a way of highlighting it. Meaning, let's say you didn't have the obsession. Let's say you're just a nasty character, you know, and you like to, you want to inflict damage on him. It wasn't, you know, something that you just couldn't get out of your mind, and it went so far that you you're a Goslin. You're from a Goslin family, comes easily to you, or you're just nasty, whatever it is, but there's no obsession. In theory, according to what I was suggesting, in Tosis, you could violate Lo Sigzol without Lo Sachmo, but you can never violate Lo Sachmo without Lo Sigzol. That might be enough to me. Yeah.
What happens if I'm obsessed with it?
You're obsessed with
keeping it? It's mine already. Somebody's offered me a lot of money. Would I then also be over on the top mode if I say no? Because I'm so obsessed with keeping it.
I don't think so. I think you have the right to keep the things that you own. Now, whether you should.
You have the right? You do have the right to keep things.
Yeah, things that you own.
Right.
We're not talking about ill-gotten
gains. No, something I already own.
Uh-huh. Right.
It's my big house.
Right.
But then
I think you have the right to say, I'm emotionally attached. I don't know whether you should be so emotionally attached that you can't think of anything other than how terrific it is to own this house or this car or this, whatever it is. But it certainly would not be a violation. You have the right to make, you have the right to refuse to sell things that you want.
Then why don't you have the right
to force someone to part with...
Well,
I would say the more rights...
According to, like Smoker, for example, it's not... Isn't it just that I want it a lot?
Badly.
Thinking, exactly.
I'm
so
obsessed.
Why...
Because it's still an improper obsession. In other words, if I agree that it's still a gaugeable improper obsession. Meaning, it's... I have to be planning and plotting. Even according to the Smok, I don't think it's enough to say, I like that Lexus.
Right.
Or like that big mansion. It'd be great to have one. It's, you have to start, I think there's for sure planning and obsessing involved. And the fact that it's not yours and it is someone else's and he doesn't want to give up. If you go to somebody and say, here's $2 million for your home. You have a right to do that, to make him an offer. Let's say, and you know that he really likes his house and you offer him anyway. I think that's what it's about. It's when he says no, and then you start trying to plot and plan, or use his friends again, his family against him, to pressure him, that's when it becomes, over the top.
So it's not so much the item as much, it's not so much me getting the item as much as the other person using the item.
No, it's if to crawl, to violate your relationship with your chafetz in order to satisfy my desire for it, that combination is the problem. Now, again, I'm on a hashkafa level, in terms of what you're saying, there's something engaged varin bego to what you're saying. Meaning, if a person is so obsessed, with things that he owns, that's also improper and in the violation, spirit, it violates the spirit in way of the losachmo, as understood in this way. But you just still can't compare, the right that you have to keep what's yours and not to part with it from planning to force someone to part with things that they have a right to have that kind of intense relationship with. Okay. So this is a Tosa. According to second view in Tosa, since I never... Yeah?
What if one is a kleptomaniac and has an obsession with stealing things, doesn't necessarily have an obsession with a specific object that you just
missed? Right. I think kleptomania...
It's like an obsession.
Well, Amenasla Maykot maybe some is not. I don't think Amenasla Maykot is kleptomania. We'll get to that.
I'm just saying it's like Amenasla Maykot, where you don't really want the object.
Yeah, you don't really want the object. I think that kleptomania is different. I don't think it's losachma. I think it's awesome, by the way. But it's I think kleptomania, as understood by psychologists, is really a kind of an illness. But not it's not based on the right. It's not an obsession. It's not even an obsession for material goods. It's like a certain compulsive kind of behavior. Again, I don't know so much about it. I really should. I'm in over my head. But I don't. I think it's something different.
So that could also be a case of where you're over a low tzitzel, but not low
tzitzel. Yeah. Very good. Right. Absolutely. You would violate low tzitzel because we don't really care. You know what? I mean, we do. We want you to get treatment and all the good things, but. Right, I don't think it's necessarily, as understood by some Rishonim, which is what we're saying, it's not necessarily somebody who's not in Sameach B'Chelko or somebody who doesn't have Yafka L'Reach Kamocha or who's obsessed with material goods per se. It really seems to come from a different place. That's a good point. Yeah.
You know, when you say that, every time you walk past like the BMW dealership, it's so desirable for a car that you have to save up money and like, you need everything to buy a car.
Well, I think that's what we're discussing here. Again, if it reflects an unhealthy obsession, I think even then, there might be, it's easier to violate Los Asaba than it is to violate Los Achma, by the way. Assuming they're not the same. But the level, I mean, look in the next Rambam.
No, I'm saying it's not like someone that's not selfish. It's not like there's someone that's
right. I think if there's actually something that is being sold that you cannot buy, and is, you know, it's a question of buying it, and there's no improper plotting or planning, then you still might be obsessed and it might be unhealthy, when I was answering to Josh's question, which is, you know, it might be in a spirit of violation of if Losachmut is being the Sameach B'Chelko, not being focused so much on material goods that it's blown out of proportion, in theory you could be in violation of that spirit of the law, you know, even in something that is open to being sold. But I don't think you could ever violate the letter of the law, even in the smack sense. Yeah, could be. But there you go. That either could be a gay, right, I think there are different places. It would still belong to that Hilchos Deos category, but what it precisely is I think still open to some. I guess gave the example of a Sameach B'Chelko or material goods or Yafta HaKamocha, because we've shown in themselves, the Ibn Ezra and others use those phrases. But in theory, you're right. You could, you know, formulate it a little bit differently. Yeah. Name again?
Noam Black.
Noam?
Black.
Black.
It was said that
it was like a big fetish of the Gemara there. Well, I think it's a bigger fetish of the Gemara, because even though you violate Losach mode, we're still letting you be in Israel.
If you read it like Tosfos and Lachamer the first day and Sanhedrin, right? Isn't it still a fetish? You still have to explain why the Gemara says that you think, even though they're correct. Still, a question has to be determined by what the person thinks and not by the actual.
Well, not necessarily. It could just be as people, in other words, the question of how you read the Gemara. That's, I hear what you're saying. If you're trying to be Medayik, that somehow the fact that it's so isn't in itself what's important. It's the fact that it's so and people realize it. Maybe. Or maybe what they're saying is, as maybe another way to read the Gemara is, as the people all know.
Isn't that like extra? Like why say the Hinshu?
It is a little strange. Yeah, but I'm not sure whether that means that the most important part is the, you know, what people think or not. I hear it. I hear what you're saying. I'm just not sure. It's a har. It's a har. Okay, is this we have three brothers?
Cousin.
Oh, cousin. Okay. I was going to say I once had three brothers. At the same time. Okay. Well, today I have two brothers. Okay. I my time is running out. I said I'm not going to finish this today, but yeah. But the question is, what do you, what tactics?
Does that mean
if it includes? I'm saying if it includes, if it requires hiftzer alav, that's what we'll explain in a minute. Hiftzer abareim, the hichbid alav, and so on, then it's still improper. Again, is it improper because of what it reflects about you or what you're willing to do to him? Efshol ashikneu just means that you can do it, and he does. It doesn't mean that it's on sale. like the dealership or the other thing. Okay. Now again, los sa'ave, kol ha'misa'ave beso ishto v'kelo shel chaver v'kol piyotzim b'shar dvar m'shef shel l'knosan kim shechashe b'livo ha'echik nedavar zev v'nifta leiv. Now the Rambam here says that there is no achi yigach in los ha'save, right? Los ha'save is machshava. But he is choshev b'livo ha'echik nedavar zev, meaning there is planning and plotting. And v'nifta libo, I think the Rambam is writing beduya. What does nifta libo mean? I mean, he's obsessed, right? His heart is being seduced, and he's not thinking clearly because of this. Avav lo sa'aseh. The ein taiva ela b'lei bilvad. So even the lo sa'aseh, which is a step lower than the lo sa'ach mode, in the obsession level, it's lower. Right. Okay, so the question is as follows. Are we dealing with, now, according to Bali Tosa's second daya, right, which is like the Raivin and the Rambam, ad shikar chayv shachamad, but you pay for it. So now we have to ask again this question. So it isn't gezel, in the classical sense. Is it a form of gezel? And I think we can ask the question this way. Is this, since it's not classical gezel, just what we said before? It's the gauge of the obsession. But he's paying for it. There's no gezel at all. But he won't just stop until he gets what he wants. Or, is this a form of gezel? He's paying for it. This raises an important question in general. To what extent is gezel about value or about the be'en? Can there be a gezel ha-be'en when there's no impoverishment, no diminishing of his net worth? He's worth the same $100 that he was worth previously, but not a penny less, right? Maybe even a penny more. He got a good price for it, according to the Rambam. Now he's worth $102. Nonetheless, he didn't want to part, and he was forced to part with this object. Is there gezel be'en or not? What role in general does the be'en play in gzela? That would be an issue which is important for kinyanic gzela, for behesha like gzela shel gazal, an important issue that could be highlighted here. So are we dealing with a more moderate form of gezel where we've neutralized the financial loss, but we're still focusing on the loss of the be'en? Or we're moving away from gezel entirely. Part of the issue might be, now, according to the second antithesis and this whole approach, we can now look at the Gemara in Bava Kama, Samach Beis Samad Aleph, right, in a different way. Tosin Bava Metzia Deya Aleph, Tosin Bava Metzia and Sanhedrin Deya Aleph. We're forced to conclude, though, when the Gemara says that a Chamson is a person who doesn't, you don't say Rotsani, but he's paying for the object, that that's only a Dindra Abba, right? Because Min HaTorah, he doesn't violate Lo Sachmud, etc. But according to the second day of Tosis, according to the Rambam, according to the Raivid, is it correct to identify Chamson with Lo Sachmud? Daraisa. And is the definition of Bava Kama a Daraisa definition? And why is that important? I think it's important conceptually for this issue, because the connotation of the word Chamson is Gezel. That belongs squarely in gezel territory. That's not the Hilchos Deos when you call somebody a chamsa. So the question I'm really asking is, if Lo Sachmod is violated with Nesinas Kesef, is that identical to the Daraisa definition of chamsan? Or is it possible that you violate Lo Sachmod Daraisa, but the concept of chamsan as one who pays money is still only a Dindur Rabbanan? Why would somebody say something like that? Well, it seems like people do. Number one, Tosis in Bava Kama. Tosis in Bava Kama seems to say that a Chamson is a category drabana, and a Chamson who receives money or pays money is not Pasul Eidus Min HaTorah, even according to the Deya that Lo Sachmod is violated under those conditions. That's what Tosis in Bava Kama, Samach Beis, seems to say. That's strange. But not just Tosis, let's turn our attention to the Rambam. Again, we'll finish this on Sunday at 10:45, but let me just get it on the table. That I think this is Shitas Rambam. This is the Rambam. I think this is the argument between the Rambam and the Raivid. Yeah?
But didn't Tosis say that those things only violated it without giving money?
Tosis in Bava Metzia. And the first day in Tosin Sanhedrin. But the second day of Tosfos and Sanhedrin disagreed, and Tosfos and Bava Kamma seems to say you violate Lo Sachmog even when you pay, and yet Tosfos seems to say that you're not possible to Eidos Min HaTorah despite. But let's look at the Rambam. There are three points to note in the Rambam, two of which are argued against the writer. Okay, what is Rambam's Shita? We had it before. Yechiel?
Shita for what? Sorry.
Rambam says, we know he holds like the Mechilta, and we also know he holds like the second day of Tosis, which is that you have to, that you pay money for, and you violate Osachmat anyway. But there's another Chiddush in the Rambam. The Rambam says, you don't get Malkus. Why?
He says it's a lot of shame b'maisa.
It's a lot of shame b'maisa. That's why you don't get Malkus. And the Ravid disagrees. Why does Ravid disagree?
He says that it's the reason really is it's lav shenita on the shavon.
Okay, and so he gives an alternative, but why doesn't he like the Rambam?
Apparently, he thinks that there is a ma'isa if you're going to.
Yeah, but he's just object. Not. You're a lot more tentative about it than the Ravid was, right? Ein lecha tema, you know, gedola mizu, says the Ravid, because in the very next sentence, Rambam says that you don't violate Osach Mod, he starts with that, he ends with that, and in the middle he tells you that you don't violate Malkus because it's a lav she'ein b'maisa. Ein lecha maisa gedola mizu, says the Ravid. So the Ravid rejects the Rambam and instead says the problem is a problem of the heishiv is like zela shergaz alav shenitan lihishavah. Now, why the Rambam doesn't like the Rai, why the Rambam doesn't like the Rambam, we know. We have difficulty in the Rambam. Why does the Rambam not like the Ravid? That's a question. The Ravid says another thing as well. What else does he say, Chiel?
He makes a separate comment where he says that the case of Lotachmud is Bishalom Amar wrote down.
Excellent. The Ravid says, how come the Ravid should have added Vahu Raich Lo Amar Rotsani, because say Rotsani, there's no Lo Sachmod. The Magen Mishnah says for the Rambam, who says that the Rambam even agrees that that's true? It's not an omission, it's a disagreement. According to the Rambam, even if you say Rotsani, it's quite possible that you'll violate Lo Sachmod. That's an interesting argument too. And then there's a third point, not as well known, but if you put the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Gemara in Bavitzia together, and that is, if you look at the Rambam in Perek Yud, Hilchos Eidos, Halacha Dalet, Rambam says that violation, I'm sorry, that a Chamson is Pasul Eidos Midrabanan. Since he pays for the object, he only is Pasul Eidos Midrabanan. That's the third point in Rambam. And the Kesef Mishnah Alatar says, yeah, of course, because Lo Sachmod is only violated, you'll say, when? When there's no payment. So therefore, there's only Sachmod, and therefore Chamson is only a Dindrabban. That's what the Kesef Mishnah says. And what's the problem with that? Right. So the Lechem Mishnah says, didn't the Kesef Mishnah read the Rambam in Hilchos Geneva? Where he clearly does not hold like Tosis, but holds that even if you pay money, you violate Lo Sachmod. So if you violate Lo Sachmod Doraisa, why are you only Pasolatus Midrabbanan? So I think, and I'll just explain this very quickly when we finish with this on Sunday, but mostly we're going to be moving to Los Ashok, I think it could be argued that the Rambam and Ravid argue exactly on this point. Both of them agree that we pass like the Mechilta Kipshuto, which is that Los Achmod is violated when you pay for the, you need Achika Chakefet Shechamad, you need a Maisa, but you also violate when you pay. They both agree on that point. And that's where everything becomes kirechok mizrach mimayim. The Ravid says, the reason that that is so is because Osachmod is a moderate form of gezel. The mechayiv is gezel. That's why you can't say that there's no maisa. Ein lecha maisa gadol mizu. Lekichas, chepetz, at the end, is the maisa. I forgot, this clock is a little ahead. I always have more time than I think. Ad sheyikach hachefetz asher chamad, right, is obvious because he's a goslin. At the same time, says Ravid, if he's a goslin, we understand why there's no Malkus, like any other Gazlan. Deheshiv Esagzela Asher Gazal. Deheshiv Esagzela Asher Gazal, that refers to classic Gazela, where you don't pay for the object. How did the Ravid know that you could pay for the object and that you could somehow accomplish some sort of tikkun in Lo Sachmon? That's a din in Gezel. It's just because the Ravid, Lishitaso, thinks that Lo Sachmon is a moderate form of Gezel. So if it's moderate Gezel, you can also get out of it by returning the ben. If you can turn the clock back and return the ben and get out of Gezel or reduce the Gezel in a case of classical extreme Gezel, then certainly you can do so in moderate Gezel. Otherwise, how did the Ravid know that lav shenitan li, that's a lav shenitan li shavo? What do you mean it's nitan li shavo? He paid for it, and giving back the ben is, the answer is because there's Gezel aben. There's Gezel aben, there's a shavas aben. So the reason that he rejects the Rambam is the very reason that he also accepts the alternative. Moreover, there says the Ravid, Behu shalom arotzani. Why? Because according to the Ravid, Lo Sachmod and Chamson are Hainu Hach. If you wanted to find the best term in the world to describe a moderate Goslin, who's a Goslin and yet who pays for the object, the best term in the world would be Chamson, as the Gemara describes it as a Dindaraisa in Bava Kamma. What's a Chamson? He's like a Goslin, but he's a moderate Goslin because he pays. But the connotation of Chamas, which is Gezel, Daraisa, applies to him. So therefore, if the Gemara said that Taliyah v'zavin zvini zini v'hu shiyom arotzani, meaning he's not even a chamsum, so obviously, even though did the Gemara say that about Lo Sachmod? No, the Gemara said that about chamsum. But according to the Ravid, chamsum and Lo Sachmod are the same. Lo Sachmod is the Lo Sigzal equivalent for a chamsum as for a gazlan. So that's how the Ravid knew that if there's rotzani, we're not in business. By the same token, there's nitan leishavon. Thirdly, there's no issue of lav shem b'mais. But according to the Rambam, basically the idea of the Rambam is that the mechayiv of Lo Sachmod is not gezel. There is no gezel. It's not moderate gezel, it's no gezel. That's why there's no alternative nitan leishavon. The reason that you're putting Malkus is because it's a lav shem b'maisa. In the same sentence before and after, he says that you need adjika chayvus v'chalak. The Rambam apparently believes that to violate Malkus, to be a lav sheyesh b'maisa, it's not enough that you technically need a maisa to trigger the violation. The mechayiv has to be the maisa. If the maisa is just a necessary gauge of the hirhur and the machshava, but the mechayiv itself is the hirhur and the machshava, according to the Rambam, that's still called a lav she'ein b'maisa. So if that's true, is Lo Sachmod the same as a chamsum? Probably not. Two different issues. Nothing to do with each other. They overlap in many cases. What the Gemara calls a chamsum usually violates Lo Sachmod. But it's not the same. Therefore, chamsum can be a drabanan, even though Lo Sachmod is violated d'oraisa. That's exactly what the Rambam says in Perek Yud, Vilchos Eidus. At least I think so. The Rambam in Perek Yud, Vilchos Eidus says there are two ways to be Pasul Eidus Daraisa. One is if you violate Navera Shochimus Mamon, like Gazlan, even though there's no Malkus, you're Pasul Eidus. Or you have to be a Rasha, Vahayim Bina Kosa Rasha, you have to violate in a way that you're over and alav Sheish B'Malkus. So now if you look at Chamson, so the Rambam says, listen, Chamson, is he a Chamson? Well, no, he's not a Chamson Daraisa, because he didn't violate, it's not Gezel unless you don't pay for it. Does he violate Lo Sachmod? He does, according to the Rambam. But is violating Lo Sachmod enough to make it Pasul Eidus? No, because it's Ein Bo Malkus, because Lav Shein Bo Maisa, and it's not a Lav Shel Chamas, because even though they often overlap, it's not Chamas Daraisa. So according to the Rambam, there's no Soledis. So all three points of the Rambam, I think, point in this. Why is it doing in Ilchus Geneva? That's the final question. It should have been in Ilchus Deos. So maybe that explains why the Rambam talks so much. Hataiva mevi'a l'dei chimud, achimud mevi'a l'dei gezel. The Rambam is telling you cause and effect. Now, surely that's also significant. Meaning it's the Rambam's way of saying, don't think that Gneva and Gezela is in a vacuum. Don't think it's just about money. You know, there's a pattern of behavior that leads to it. But basically, the Rambam's causal chain here is meant also to justify what it's doing in Ochos Gezela. Because it really isn't a din Gezela at all. It's a din in Ochos Deos. Was a question? Okay. We're going to stop here. Again, I'm sorry we went a little over the time. It probably isn't the last time that it'll happen, but we'll try to be sensitive to people's class-going needs normally. And we'll continue Sunday at 10:45. A little more on this, and then mostly turning to Moshe.